Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. There may still be a few longer pauses than ideal, but I've done my best to keep the scripture, sermon, and the best of our great music. After the sermon, there is typically a silence for prayer, and that moves into music. Thank you to Drew Winters for our theme music, and thank you to Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, our musical director at Jubilee United Church, and also the lead voices of Sharon Christmas LaFleur, Marie Crucioni, Dylan Hillier, and Mike Thomas. And thanks to all the volunteers who read and share their gifts in our services. Music in these services is covered by one license, A733652. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca, or even on my YouTube channel, Norm Seelye. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship.
Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see what the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, hearts that are near, hearts that are far, hearts that are wounded, hearts that are tender, hearts that are bold, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So the gospel today. It's the story about a blind man, Bartimaeus, having his sight restored. Maybe. But is it? Well, it says that it is. Yeah, it says that it is, but it also says more. And I think we know more. Bartimaeus is a man who has a worldview, right? Like I do. But it's a worldview not shared by many others. More importantly, it's a worldview that is very limited when compared to God's way of living in the world. Bartimaeus has figured out how to make it work for himself, though. He has this view. It's not God's view. He has a view, but he's figured out how to make it work. He's become a beggar. Not the job to which he aspired when he was a boy, perhaps, but it works for him. I presume that he has a roof over his head. We are not told that he is starving or near death. We are told only that he is a beggar and that he is blind. He is making his life work. I have a worldview that is incomplete, especially when compared to the way that God is in the world. Many things pass by me without me noticing. There are feelings that go unfelt, revelations that I miss. But I have built a life around what I see and experience, and like Bartimaeus, I have made it work. How about you? Are you like me? Are you like Bartimaeus? Figured out how to live in this world, but sometimes have a vague sense that you might be missing something. There might be more. A revelation unnoticed, an opportunity not grasped. Or maybe there's nothing vague about it. You know that you are unaware. You realize that you are blind to many things, both challenging and glorious in this world. Things that might change your life if you could only become aware. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, living his life, making it work. He heard about Jesus. He'd heard that Jesus was nearby, and all of a sudden, he knew that his life was incomplete. There were revelations that he was missing, possibilities that were not being realized. And he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many ordered him sternly to be quiet. But he cried out regardless, "Jesus!" Amoy, daughter of Michael and Anna, was waiting to pick up her daughter from daycare. And it had been a long day. It had been a long week. It had been a long pandemic, frankly.
and she was exhausted. She was tired of fighting the good fight, of trying to make change without making waves. She loved her husband, adored her daughter. She was fine with her job, but somehow only okay with her life. Not that she thought about it much. But sometimes, sitting in the parking lot at the church where her daughter's daycare was located, she would wonder what went on in the building. I mean, they seemed to say all the right things on their signs and their posters, and she agreed with what they stood for. I mean, they were nice people, and so was she, so what's not to like? But she wondered if there might be something else going on inside on Sundays during the week. She actually thought about checking the place out, but she was pretty busy and really wasn't all that interested in becoming, well, a Christian. And certainly not interested in being known as a Christian. Oh, no. But what if there was something more to it all? Something more than just being nice? What if there was something going on there that she could learn? What if there was a place where she could use her mind and apply and share her feelings? Reach out and find another reaching hand, not just empty space. What if she could find strength and wisdom to help her fight the good fight? Oh. People who rode the waves instead of avoiding them. She thought about it. Her husband didn't think it was a great idea. He had no intention of going to church and really didn't want to talk about it any further, thank you very much. A couple of her friends said it was a phase. She could just maybe do a yoga class. She'd be fine. She saw the minister. At least she thought it was probably the minister. She saw the minister walking by and called out, "Excuse me, Martin, son of Mr. and Mrs. Sinclair, had it all." That's what everyone said. He had a great job, a wonderful family, a small mortgage, and big plans. He had worked hard to get where he was. He put in the extra study when he was at school, put in extra work when he joined the company, had proved himself again and again and again until he had become the guy that people tried to impress. He had responsibilities, and he never, ever let people down. This whole woke world or cancel culture and privilege was really annoying to him. He didn't like the words. He didn't like what they were doing. He didn't like what they implied. You know, the pendulum would always swing, but this was too far. It was as if he hadn't struggled, hadn't paid his dues, hadn't lived his life kindly aware of others. He had. He'd worked hard. He had struggled, and he cared about people. There was more talk of systemic racism in his company, and all he could say was, "Jesus, here we go again." Tristan, child of Art and Julie, was done with the world. The world was brutal and hideous. It was unjust. Every day the past was dug up and more skeletons were found. More crimes, more history had to be rewritten. Every day the news reminded them that no place was home unless you were a certain type of person. A type that Tristan was not and could never be. The economic future was not inviting. The environmental present was filled with sights and sounds of alarm. Institutions were corrupt and politics hopeless. Tristan spent time on social media decrying the lack of kindness and mercy. They watched YouTube and felt sick. They heard about hope and cringed at the naivete of it all. Their battles in life so far had been tough enough. The battles of the world just seemed too much for Tristan to even imagine, let alone engage. Tristan remembered going to church as a child and as a youth. The stories were good. The friendships were sincere. The gospel was hopeful, all until they weren't. until they were stories not meant for Tristan's ears, not compatible with Tristan's humanity. Tristan became persona non grata one summer, and never had a few words in Latin been so painful or so true. Tristan no longer felt welcome at their home church. But the stories didn't disappear. They had taken root. And sometimes in dreams, Joseph's coat was Tristan's. A place was set at the table to sit with Jesus. Love whispered through the creaky text and ancient traditions. Tristan went on silent retreat to meet God again for the very first time. Jesus stopped and told his companions to call Bartimaeus over. They called. Bartimaeus came. Amoy liked the minister. He was okay, not judgmental. Didn't press her on why she hadn't been in church in, well, ever, really. He didn't ask if her daughter was baptized. He just listened to her tell her story, as if her story was important. And as she told it, she realized it was. I talked about what she believed about God and how she talked about God, how she felt about God. They talked about prayer, how she did it, how others did it. There was a prayer group and a meditation group at this church. And there were gatherings to discuss the Bible. I mean, not memorize it or study it for a test, but read and wonder about it. Fight with it. Love it. Discover the wisdom and the depth of it. And it wasn't long before she was seriously thinking about joining the choir. She always loved singing in high school. And then she was binging the virtual services, just watching them one after another, just getting into all of this. Did people really do daily Bible readings? Oh my God. Martin's colleague sat down across his desk and started talking about the people in the company, the management structure and the hiring practices. And she wondered if they might begin with setting aspirations for diversity within the company and on the board. Agree on expectations, numbers and proportions that they would not go below, even leaving vacancies until they could find people who brought different wisdom, different perspective and experience to the job. In the silence of 4 days apart from the world, Tristan told God all about who they were, how they got to this moment, the hurts, the lies, the pain, the joys, the relationships lost and begun. Tristan shared anger and distrust, betrayal and struggle, despair and hopelessness, tears and moans. Jesus called Bartimaeus to him, and Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and ran to Jesus. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Notice that Jesus doesn't thrust the healing upon Bartimaeus. He doesn't throw vision at him without warning. He doesn't decide for Bartimaeus what he might want, because he recognizes the full, complete humanity in Bartimaeus. He is not less of a man because he is blind. He is a man who is blind. It is Bartimaeus who asks to see more fully the world. And note, he threw his cloak off to come to Jesus. His cloak that identified him as a beggar, shaped how the world saw him. That cloak is very much his identity. It provided protection and security. There would be coins in the folds of the cloak, dropped there as charity from passersby. But Bartimaeus threw that all aside, threw aside his security, his riches, his protection, his very identity, that he might be with Jesus and begin to see the world as Jesus sees it. Amoy really liked the minister and the choir. She loved the music. But she was who she was, and she wasn't sure if she was really ready to be out there as a Christian. I mean, what would people think if they knew she was going to church every week, or even more than once a week? I mean, was she ready for that? Would her husband understand? Would her daughter come with her to church, or would that be a problem? She wasn't sure that she could throw off the security and the comfort, the identity that she had built over the past 34 years. Martin trusted his colleague, but firmly believed in hiring the best person for the job. That's what you do. The company was successful under his leadership. They were not only surviving the pandemic, they were thriving as never before. Getting distracted by changing a formula that works didn't make sense. Yes, there were more men than women in senior management, and they were not exactly diverse by anybody's standards. But things like that take time. And he was open to hiring people who could do the job, regardless of color, gender, or any of the other diversity things. But ultimately, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. End of discussion. Tristan heard the call and said, "Yes, God. Yes. I want to see the world as you see it. I want to see me as you see me." And as they said it, tears were coming down their cheek. But even in joy, Tristan realized that there was a cost. Tristan would need to toss off the cloak of despair and hopelessness, which seems silly. Why should that be hard? Except that the despair and the hopelessness helped Tristan make sense of the world. I mean, the world may be going to hell in a handcart, but at least Tristan knew where they were headed. There was a map. With hope. Well, with hope, Tristan couldn't really predict what might happen tomorrow. With hope, Tristan would have days of disappointment because Tristan wouldn't be able to prepare. Tristan's grandmother used to say, "Better the devil you know." Tristan knew this devil well. But Tristan also knew what it meant to end a relationship and to find new ones when the old ones won't let you breathe. Oh my God, this is going to happen. What was going to happen? Faith. Faith was happening, real faith. The kind that demands even as it accepts, that inspires even as it sits patiently with you in the hard times. "Go, your faith has made you well," Jesus said. And Bartimaeus, he was forever changed. Amoy tried church that Sunday. She was challenged and comforted by what she heard, by what she felt. She met some nice people. She knew she would. She found a meditation group that opened her mind and heart in ways that she never imagined. In this community, she found people who didn't fight the good fight. They lived their faith in ways that changed the world a bit at a time. People who did make waves, but soon showed Amoy how to surf them. And her daughter loved it at church. Even her husband began coming, if only to hear her sing in the choir. She also found that she didn't mind talking about her faith. I mean, she wasn't preachy or anything, but she was a little pleased to be known as Christian. Especially when folks said, "Yeah, but not one of those Christians." Martin? Well, Martin kept saying Jesus' name. But he wouldn't look up and around to see that Jesus was right there, offering him another way, another perspective. So for now, he kept seeing things the way that he always saw them, satisfied that he was doing the job that he was paid to do. Nothing really changed. Not even that vague uneasiness that seemed to lurk in the background of his life. That feeling of, "But what if?" Tristan lived in faith and hope and only occasionally gave in to despair. For an evening or a weekend, maybe. Life wasn't perfect after all. But Tristan found that they had more to offer the world when they could trust God and not doubt everyone. It just seemed easier. And the world had more to offer Tristan as well. It was as if they were seeing the world in a brand new way. Colors that weren't there before. Yeah, the world was full of struggle, but also filled with beauty and possibility. How about you? Where are you right now? In the midst of that vague uneasiness that says there is something more, assuredly there's got to be. What if? Is that where you are? Are you calling? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Are you hearing Jesus call you and wondering whether you can respond? Are you ready to throw off the security, the comfort, the identity that you have built all yourself? Are you ready for a living faith that defines you even as you help to define it? Are you ready for that? I don't know if I'm ready, but I am ready to give it a try. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the call that pulls us out of ourselves, invites us to throw off our cloak and follow you. God, give us the courage. Give us the courage to follow. Give us the courage to love. Give us the courage to hope. And as we do, God, please hold our hand, because it's scary. As we do, God, let us recognize your grace all around us. And let us discover that this grace is amazing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Loving God, do you know what is amazing? Anything that we dare to see with your eyes, feel with your heart, whisper with your voice. Oh God, we give thanks for the battles won, the justice created, the love shared. Thank you for all the little things that went well this week. The parking spot that we found, the phone call that we answered just in time, the smile that we shared. And God, thank you for the big things, some so big that we take them for granted. The people who stock the shelves and operate the registers that we might have what we need and even more than we need. The folks who go above and beyond in our hospitals, fire stations, police stations, paramedics, PSWs, bus drivers, delivery drivers, all those who shoulder a burden that we might not be weighed down. God, thank you for our leaders and those who dare to make decisions. Thank you for those who reconsider and make new decisions as well. Thank you, God, for the world around us that announces in the colors of the leaves and the cool of the evening that we need not be afraid of change. We can glory in each moment as we are, as it is. God, we are humbled by the gifts of life and love and we cherish them, even as we sometimes forget to embrace them. Wake us up, God. God, we pray for change. Please bring your vision to those who are blind to the needs of others. Clear the myopia that comes with privilege and fear. Welcome the tears of those who mourn. Let them know that love lasts, that love matters. We pray for and with those who are grieving, those who are hungry, those who are angry, and those who are afraid. And God, we pray for ourselves, because we too are afraid and angry and hungry. And we too suffer from myopia and do not always see the world as you see it. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Let us love the world as you love it. Let us experience your grace. Let us be amazing. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray like this.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Go forth in this moment and out into the world. And it's okay to throw your cloak behind you. It's okay if you want to sort of drag it around with you too, like a security blanket. It's okay, because it can be hard to live in faith. But go forth and dare. Go forth and try, knowing that God, the Creator, is with you. Knowing that it is Jesus who calls you. And knowing that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us, helping us to see things that we have never seen before, feel things that we have never felt before, helping us in the struggles and helping us celebrate in the glories that come with a life of faith. Go into the world loving the world. Go into the world faithfully. Until we gather again, virtually or in person, amen.